This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place Nation Pop Experience, Pop Goes to the Couch, continues on our journey through Loki, the series on Disney Plus. Hey, I'm Andy Atherton, your co-host for this weekly pod. We talk about streaming shows. We have a great time with it because you know why? We're a bunch of great guys. I love doing pods with these guys, and I look forward to this every week. So we're up to episode 4 of season 1. We're more than halfway through now. We're actually 2/3 of the way through. This one is titled The Nexus Event. Let's get the guys in here and let's get the show underway. First off, we got Sean Kidd. What's going on, Sean?
Good evening, Andy. It's good to be here, and it was very good to watch this episode particularly because it helped me learn that it's okay to love yourself.
Yeah. If loving yourself is wrong, I don't want to be right, right? Is that what you're trying to say?
Pretty much, yes.
All right. And also giggling as usual, Scott Shiflett. What's going on, Scott?
Andy, I'm here. I'm not a variant, I don't think. I hope I don't get pulled away in the middle of this episode, but if I go silent, I've been taken by the TVA.
All right, well, let's hope against that. And I really hope this guy never gets pruned. Tim Capel. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hello, Andy. Hello, panel. Hello, nation. I will definitely say that this series has given new meaning to the term go fuck yourself, which I've certainly heard many times throughout my life, and I can't say I'm not a big proponent of, so rock on, I guess.
Okay. So, this show, this episode is actually, yes, entitled, as I said, The Nexus Event, and we'll starts off in the past with a young Sylvie is playing in Asgard when Ravonna and three Minutemen portal in. Ravonna confirms that Sylvie is the variant they're looking for, and the Minutemen grab the girl while Ravonna says that they are arresting Sylvie for crimes against the sacred timeline. As they haul Sylvie away, the Minutemen activate a reset charge. In the TVA, Ravonna takes Sylvie into the processing room. Another prisoner is hauled away, and Sylvie is processed and brought to the judge. Sylvie steals Ravonna's time temp pad, creates a portal, and then escapes. In the present, Ravonna meets with the three timekeepers. Afterwards, she leaves the chamber, and Mobius asks her if she's okay. She says that she's not okay, and they blame her for Loki's escaping. She says that the timekeepers are all that stand between them and a temporal calamity, and Mobius says that if the timekeepers want him to find the escapees, he needs access to C-20. After Ravonna insists that it's impossible, Mobius says that he needs to find out what C-20 meant when she said repeatedly it's real, and what else she saw when she was with Sylvie. Ravonna tells him that Sylvie enchanted C-20 and scrambled her mind and doesn't want people to panic. She warns that they're all in danger and tells Mobius to find the Lokis and then leaves. So I don't know if you guys are still... I don't know if you ever did watch Walking Dead, but the actress who plays young Sylvie actually plays Judith. So I kind of pop for that. The girl does a great job in Walking Dead, and she did a good job in the small amount of screen time she's here. So, Sean, what did you think of the star of this episode?
Yeah, my wife actually pointed out to me that it was young Judith because I checked out of that show about a year ago, but my wife still watches it. Yeah, I enjoyed the backstory on Sylvie, and it makes you wonder. She was taken out of the timeline when she was a baby, and she was sitting there playing with toys on the ground, not a baby, but a young girl. So it makes you wonder, what exactly did she do that made her a variant that is messing up the timeline, which I have a theory. Here we go. Sean Kidd theories, Tim theories. We're going to have theories. I'll talk about that later tonight, what I think possibly she could be part of that. And then we find out that Ravonna was the one that caught her. Then we go back to present day, and now she's in trouble for the two Lokis getting away. And, you know, also this one. So she's now had the Sylvie's gotten away from her twice. So there's a lot weighing on her. And I will be honest with you, this is about where I started thinking about Ravonna, however you want to pronounce it, that there's probably more to her than meets the eye. I think we've talked about it in previous episodes, but this one got my head turning a little bit, this opening scene.
Yeah, it shows that actually she wasn't always the judge, which is not cool. Good to know that there's advancement opportunities at the TVA. Scott, what are your thoughts on the start of this episode?
Well, another swing and a miss by me, as you know, I had this whole theory for last episode that's done in the first 30 seconds, just like I envisioned. So with young Loki, the Sylvie Loki being pulled away, do you guys think she was like in her own timeline or in Loki's timeline, like our Loki's timeline when she got pulled away, or was she just in her own? Because if she was in her own timeline, that opens up a lot more possibilities for different worlds. What do you guys think of that? Sorry, Andy, I'm taking over. I just got confused.
Well,
myself.
No, that's a good jumping off point. I guess I was next anyway, right?
Yeah.
That's something I'm a little bit confused about myself, because I feel like we've been led to believe that there is only one sacred timeline. At least there's only supposed to be one sacred timeline, and deviations, variants occur due to time travel interference, right? So there has to be somebody who's traveling through time, going from one point on our sacred timeline to another point, whether it's in the past or the future. They're not supposed to do that. They mess something up that isn't quote-unquote ordained to happen the way that it's supposed to happen, and that causes the branch, right? And we never see that in this little flashback. So what we see in this opening scene is not so much a backstory as it is just maybe another layer, another wrinkle. Certainly we didn't see any time traveling activity unless there was, you know, something really going on there behind the scenes that has yet to be revealed. It just seemed like they showed up and took her. So it's sort of like, to your point, Scott, was this just a parallel timeline that existed in its own right that shouldn't have? And if so, why? Why did it exist? And why did they? Why was it such a problem? Why did the TVA come in and do what they did, when certainly it looked like this was a very benign situation? So I like to think and hope that an explanation is forthcoming, although I'm not so sure with this show anymore.
Yeah. Very, it's going to be very interesting where they lead us off here.
Also, sorry, Andy, just like, I was just wondering, because
I'm apologizing to me, Scott. It's okay.
I've just been thinking about it all week. I was like, cause like we had seen stuff with the timeline before. It's just because Loki, you know, grabbed the Tesseract and was like going through. Yeah. That's when he got snagged. She was doing nothing. She was playing with toys. So that's why I was like, yeah, that's weird. But also like we find out that like, you know, C-20 may not be around anymore, which is very interesting, because we had, you know, we had found out last episode that the TVA was just variants of people. So it's like Mobius is like starting to open his mind up and everything, but she tells them just to find the Lokis, and that's where we are at now.
See, I think we're overthinking. Okay, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Sorry, Andy. I think we're overthinking the Sylvie stuff. I think the only reason why she was plucked from the timeline is because she was a female Loki, and you're not supposed to have a female
Loki.
I think it's that simple.
Or the other thing that popped in my head was that whole kill baby Hitler theory thing, like go back in time and kill baby Hitler.
That's what everybody says, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like maybe like, you know, you pluck her out because she's going to do something that's going to.
Mm-hmm. They already knew that she was going to be a problem.
Yeah, but I don't think she's a Hitler, though. I think she's probably a good spirited person in general.
No, like it's getting her as a child to prevent her from doing something as a grown up, whether it's, you know, evil or the bad guys are trying to get her from doing something good.
Maybe they already saw that she was going to be a time criminal, so to speak.
Yeah.
Very Bishop X-Men.
It's a lot to try to wrap your head around. But again, it's like, okay, she's a female Loki. We know that Loki is a shapeshifter, is gender fluid, is, you know, can be all these things. But here again, if there's only one sacred timeline, how did she even come into existence in the first place? You know what I mean? Like, it seems like there would have to be some kind of outside interference to force this off the sacred path. That I don't know that we see. So, and I'm not sure if that's a deliberate misdirect based on the information we've been given, or if it's just kind of the show playing fast and loose with its own rules. I'm not real clear on that.
All right. So we're on Lamentis. Meteors from the planet crash down on the moon. Loki finds Sylvie sitting alone outside the city and sits down with her. Loki apologizes, and Sylvie says that she remembers a little of her life in Asgard before she was taken, and she was born the goddess of mischief. As soon as that created a big enough detour from the secret timeline, the TVA took her prisoner and erased her reality. Sylvie stole a tempad, escaped, and ran for a long time. Everywhere she went, she created a Nexus event and drew the attention of the TVA. She learned to hide in the ends of a thousand worlds. Sylvie figures that she'll die on Lamentis. At the TVA, the analysts are unable to locate the Lokis. B-15 asks Mobius if there's news on C-20. Says that there isn't. The hunter insists that they find the Lokis, and Mobius tells her that they will. Meteors continue to rain down on Lamentis, and Loki and Sylvie watch. Loki figures that what makes a Loki is they survive no matter what, and points out that Sylvie survived and almost took down the TVA. He says that she's amazing and takes Sylvie's hand. The analysts get a temporal lock. A meteor crashes on the horizon, and a blast wave heads towards the Lokis. Loki and Sylvie brace themselves and smile at each other. The TVA determined that the new Nexus they locked onto was a major upheaval. Minutemen arrive via portal and take Loki and Sylvie to the TVA, putting collars on them. The Minutemen take Sylvie away, and Mobius and Loki argue about who betrayed who. They take Loki to Mobius's theater. Mobius tells Loki that he's an asshole and a bad friend. A portal opens. Loki tells Mobius that the TVA is lying to him. Mobius ignores Loki's accusation and has the Minutemen shove Loki through the portal. Whew. So we find out how they get out of their predicament on Lamentis, and you know, some of the stuff that we were teased about, you know, them being in the TVA, has come to fruition. So Scott, what do you think of this temporal lock on this event that's happening here?
Yeah, the event was going to be, I guess, them two, as like we made, like you said, we made jokes to and alluded to at the beginning, was they were going to be some Loki on Loki action. That's what it appeared. You know, as Loki said, he's been unable to find love, and you know, he finds it in himself, which is interesting to say the least. And then and I will say, Tim, with the asteroid railing, I mean not Tim, but Andy on Lamentis, it kind of reminded me of that horrible movie we watched for Blockbuster Rewind, Melancholia, when that was ending, when the world was ending on that. Yeah. That's what it looked like to me. But very interesting to see, like, you know, and I guess like as you were going over it, like that Sean was right that you know, I guess their excuse for Sylvie to be pulled from the timeline was that she was born a girl. So I guess that's just what they're going with.
It could be a swerve. Who knows?
But. Yeah, true.
Yeah, they've been known to swerve us before. Tim, what are your thoughts on this part?
Yeah, I find that explanation incredibly unsatisfactory. I also found this rescue scene incredibly unsatisfactory. Isn't this exactly what we said in our last episode? Because I do remember.
Yeah, we were hoping that wouldn't happen.
I do remember what we say on these things, contrary to what you might think. This was like the last thing we said we wanted to see, right? That the TVA just finds them, rescues them, and that's it. I mean, it kind of renders that whole Lamentis episode even more wheel spinning than it already was, if that's just the ultimate outcome of it. So I kind of stand by that as a really bad storytelling decision. And it maybe could have been salvaged if the TVA had found them through some really kind of clever means. But it's, from what I gather, it's again, the show just kind of breaking its own rules, which are, when you go to an apocalypse event, even if you're a variant, they can't track you because the timeline doesn't branch. So you can hide, quote unquote, in an apocalypse event, except this time you can't because the power of love. Fuck all that. Like, this just, again, it's more of the kind of just indicative of the issues I've had with this series. And once more, I'm finding myself being kind of the sourpuss of the group, but I don't know, man, like, I think I'm enjoying these podcasts more than I am the show itself at this point.
Well, these all can't be love fest, Tim. I mean, we have to have, you know, negative views. We can't love everything. We have to find, If you don't like it, you know, that's what we're about. We're about what we do here is we're honest.
It keeps us honest. Thoughts. Yeah, it keeps us honest, right?
Like, yeah, we're trying to share our thoughts with everybody, and not everybody agrees on everything. You know, you see that with the wrestling pods and all the other stuff. So I would never apologize for not liking something. It's just because you don't like it, you don't like it. That's all. It's not, as we like to call them, a shit take. It's a, we love that you're being honest. Sean.
Unless your name is Sean Kidd, then you're the king of the shit take.
That's
a totally different fucking story. What a fucking little speech that was, Andy.
Your problem is you go in too hard on even beyond like your own like feelings sometimes for perhaps dramatic or comedic effect. I feel like
it's more for comedic effect, but it's funny to see people get a rise.
You will exaggerate.
Oh, Booker T sucks. Oh, you
exactly. Anyway, you, my friend, are the master of hyperbole.
I really am. I'm like the puppet master. So
I'm on a stage of fools, master puppeteer.
Okay. Was it my turn, Andy?
Yep, it is your turn.
I didn't piss the host off yet, did I? I'm good?
Not yet.
All right. So I get... I was going to say that Tim is not a fan of the Loki, unfortunately. But I would say this. I think on the last show, we did say one or two things. I said either the authority was going to come in and pop them out, or... Was it Schiff that said that the theory was that this was all going on in Loki's head? Who made that theory up?
That was Schiff.
All right, Schifflet. So that's another one that got shut down, I guess.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah.
I backed him up on that, so it's
both of us. I think what we've learned in these Marvel shows is that if it's too far-fetched and out there, that means we're overthinking it and everything is kept very simple. That's what I've learned. Because we did that in WandaVision, too. It was a very simple thing, and we were thinking of something else, and now it's here. Which also leads me to believe some different theories of who's running this whole thing as well, because if they're going to keep it simple, it's going to stay simple. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of this whole they found them. And yeah, it's interesting that this whole anomaly of how they found them is because basically they were falling in love with each other. And it is an interesting twist to have Loki fall in love with himself. I think that is kind of a neat little twist. But I get why Tim isn't necessarily the big fan, because it's going to be, seems to him, probably the word tropey is probably the word that I'll always use with stuff like this. So I get it. I totally understand.
Well, it's just, I don't know. It just feels like the show sets up one thing, one set of expectations, but they're just making it up as they go along. It's just very like sort of shoestring plotting. I don't know. It just seems like a very weakly written where they just need something to happen. They say, oh, who cares? Just make it happen.
Well, how did they fall in love within within hours of meeting each other? He's in love with her. I mean, it's far fetched.
Yeah.
Right. That's pretty unconvincing. Yeah. It's not even like, it'd be one thing if it was a more convincing love story. And I mean, I've even seen some chatter out there that, well, it's not even, we're not even talking about romantic love, really. It's more like a companionship kind of thing. But I'm like, I don't know. The show seems to present it more as a romantic. I mean, they almost kiss in the last episode at one point.
And definitely how they act in this episode, where I know we're getting ahead, but Loki's going after Sylvie the whole time. And even Mobius calls him out on it.
It definitely, if they're going for the whole, I found something and someone to fight for, but it isn't necessarily because of a sexual chemistry. Well, they certainly did not get that across in their acting, writing, whatever, in any way to me.
All right. So Loki finds himself in a plaza in Asgard. Sif comes out with a part of her hair cut off from one of Loki's pranks that said that Loki did what just happened. Slaps him. She tells him that he deserved to be alone and will always be, and beats Loki and then walks away. Loki figures that he's in a bad memory prison and he was just having fun. The sequence repeats itself and Sif beats Loki again Irritated, Loki figures that he's in a time loop. The sequence repeats itself, and Loki tells Sif that she's a recreation of a past event created by the TVA. He asks her to help him escape, and Sif beats him again. Mobius visits Ravonna in her office and says that he wanted to meet with Sylvie while Loki is in his time cell. Ravonna refuses, telling Mobius to stick with Loki. He says that he thinks he can figure out what caused the spike if he works them against each other, but she refuses, saying that Sylvie is too dangerous. Mobius leaves and goes to the theater where B-15 and her men are standing guard over Sylvie. B-15 asks Mobius if Loki said anything to him, and Mobius repeats Loki's accusation that the TVA is lying to him and wonders why B-15 asked, and she claims that she's doing just doing her job. So, you know, we get a somebody, you know, I saw this on somebody tweeted this or something on Instagram that, you know, the best part about Phase 4 is we're getting to see, you know, characters we haven't seen in so long. You know, we got Darcy back. We got, you know, trying to think who else came back. But we also have now we have Lady Sif back. At least it's in a memory sequence, but it's nice to see Jamie Alexander. Tim, what do you think of this part with the little cell here?
Yeah, nice to kind of see Sif again, even though this is more of a flashback / cameo for that character.
But Sif is still alive, though. Unlike
she
the
is still alive. Stuff, yep.
Still alive in the universe.
So she's still out there. And I mean, I kind of like that character and thought she was underserved in her. Gosh, was she just in that one Thor movie?
She was in the first two. She wasn't in the third two. Movie.
And I believe she's supposed to be in the fourth one. So
she was on Agents of Shield.
I know she was on Agents of Shield. So at least she, you know, she did that. But yeah, good reminder that she's still out there. I guess we're going to see Abomination again and Shang-Chi, which, okay. But that's one of those characters that is super forgotten about, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, but I couldn't place it. Thank you.
But this is a clever little plot device, the whole time loop deal. I mean, it's fun. I think I would have liked to see Loki be a little more clever in how he deals with it, you know? Like, maybe let's see some of that trickster god prowess.
Tim, as you said last week or 2 weeks ago, like Loki, when he was a heel, you know, he could do no wrong. He was whooping ass. But now that he's a babyface, it's like
he's got to take the L's.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit annoying. And then we get more of this TVA bureaucracy. What's really going on? You know, Ravonna's probably telling lies. Who is it? C-20, B-20? Which one is...
C-20 was the one that
designation
that has been eliminated, but B-15 is the one.
C-20, yes, is now dead.
Yes,
as far as we know. We don't see what actually happened to her. We're just told that she's dead. So, obviously, she's either not really dead, or if she is, they killed her, you know?
Yeah, or she's either pruned or she's, like dead, Max
the true death
would say in Princess Bride. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. But yeah, that's all I really had to say on that.
Sean.
I thought the Sif thing was kind of a cool little throwback. It was good to see her in it, and I thought it was good comedic value. And as far as the whole Ravonna and Mobius stuff, obviously Mobius is now starting to suspect things after Loki has said something. Now he's inquiring, he's asking questions. So that's all I really have to say. It'll play out. But I did enjoy the Sif scene. I thought that was cool. I thought that was funny.
All right, Scott.
Just what those guys said. And with B-15, like, you know, she seems to be, you know, acting a little bit more different because as we've seen her before, she had been such a hard ass and, you know, with no emotion. And we're seeing some emotion here as she keeps asking Mobius, like, what happened to B-20? Like, you know, what's going on? And like even Mobius picks up on it with a little bit and with her just saying she's just doing her job. So I think she's starting to see the light like C-20 did.
Yeah, I started to pick up on that when I was watching. Like maybe something happened when Sylvie did the little mind control thing. So we'll find out. So when the sequence repeats itself again, Loki asks Sif to stop and says that he's a horrible person. Sif hesitates and tells Loki that he craves attention because he's a narcissist. Loki admits that he's scared of being alone, and Sif repeats her phrase of how he's alone always will be. She walks off, and Mobius comes in and asks Loki if he's ready to talk. Mobius portals Loki back to the theater and tells him to expand on what he said earlier. Loki asks for his freedom before saying anything further, and Mobius figures that Loki was lying to him to barter for his freedom. Mobius asks how long Loki has been working for Sylvie, and Loki says that Sylvie is irritating and difficult and tries to hit him all the time. Loki insists that he and Sylvie aren't partners, and Mobius continues questioning Loki about what caused the Nexus event. When Loki refuses to talk, Mobius figures that they've reached a dead end and prepares to send Loki back to the time loop. To avoid that, Loki lies and says that he was masterminding the whole entire operation. Loki says that Sylvie came to him on Asgard a long time ago, took her to one of her apocalypses, and they hatched the plan together. When Mobius wonders what the plan is, Loki says that it's coming along nicely and Sylvie is a pawn. Loki tells Mobius that something big is going to happen and he'll dispose of Sylvie when he does. Mobius tells him that Sylvie has already been pruned. When Loki asks what happened, Mobius says that Sylvie broke free and tried to escape, and B-15 had to prune her to stop her. Loki says good riddance, and Mobius chuckles and points out that Loki likes Sylvie. He figures that Loki forming a romantic entanglement to a variant of himself is pure chaos, and Loki is an incredible narcissist. Loki angrily asks if Sylvie is alive, and Mobius says that she is, for now. The god says that his interests in Sylvie's are aligned, and finally tells Mobius that all the TVA hunters and analysts are variants, and the timekeepers erase their memories. Loki says that variants can access their memories through enchantment. Mobius doesn't believe Loki and tells Loki that he's closing the case because he doesn't need him anymore. As Minutemen come in and take Loki away, he tells Mobius that the latter is the biggest liar because he lies to himself. The Minutemen shove Loki through the portal and back into the timeline. All right, so Sean, we get the conclusion of the time thing, the time loop here, and we get some Mobius Loki interaction once again. So, what do you think of what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot to say here. It's more Mobius calling Loki out on his bullshit, which is always entertaining. I really like Mobius as a character. I think Owen Wilson plays him really, really well. I mean, he's just as sarcastic as Loki is, and I really like the play they have between each other. And then Loki, of course, staying true to himself, lying to cover for Sophie, and then Mobius just calling him out on saying, wow, that's really something, you fall in love with yourself. It's kind of a scene that maybe plays out too long and isn't really necessary, but it also continues Mobius' doubt in his head of what's going on with the authority. So yeah, it's all right.
Scott?
Yeah, Sean said, but one thing that did make me laugh was when Mobius was asking Loki questions. Like, he couldn't even admit that he could have lied and said he was working for Sylvie, but no, he always has to be the one in charge. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, I mean, he's obviously a narcissist, but, like, it's a nice little thing that he can't even, like, when he's lying, he can't even bring himself. He's like, no, I was the one in charge. She found me, and I hatched this plan. But, I did like Mobius just making fun of him for, like, oh, you're, you know, forming a romantic entanglement is pure chaos. So it's nice. And then Loki finally gets a blow in. When he says them that they're all variants, and we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. Tim?
Can we press pause or maybe even take a step back here and ask the question? Because I'm confused here at this stage. Maybe you guys can help. What is the TVA trying to accomplish at this point? The show was set up as, okay, there's this fugitive variant on the run. Hey, plot twist, it's actually you, Loki. It's a variant of you. And so even though you yourself are also a variant, we think you are the most qualified person to track this criminal down. Which, okay, fair point. And it's not exactly the way that things panned out, but we've now arrived at the point where the TVA has both Lokis in tow. We've got the variant Loki from 2012. We've got Sylvie, the time criminal, the great criminal they've been tracking across time for so very long. Why have we not just pruned both of them and that be the end of it?
Be gone, Thought.
If we're the TVA, unless that's not really their end goal, which I guess it's not, but maybe we as viewers could use some breadcrumbs here to understand what the show even is, because I'm not sure the show knows what the show is here. Can you guys, like, am I missing something here?
Like, what's their end game?
Crickets? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm a little bit getting lost, and I don't know if that's a me issue or if this is just sort of like, why does the show still exist here at this stage?
It's kind of, you know, Tim, for me, it's kind of like, I know JT, you know, our good friend JT and I were talking, and we both kind of thought, hey, Loki variant is probably running this whole thing, pure spoilers. But then I thought about it. Well, why would they bring in a Loki from another time to chase this Loki that they don't necessarily know is a Loki, but clearly Loki to chase a Loki. But if a Loki is in charge of the TVA, why do you need this Loki to chase that? You know what I mean? So I know that sounds all jumbled and confusing. But
no. Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. It's like, what is the end game? So you're right. They caught the variant. They caught both variants. Why didn't they just prune them? Is such a weird term, but it's hilarious.
Right.
But it's like, why? And I'm with you. And it's like, I think I've forgotten about that to your point, because I'm too interested in where the show is trying to go, and I've probably lost all common sense around the main plot point, so shame on me.
I'm being a little bit obtuse just in the sense that there must be another play yet to come. Like, there's got to be more to it than it's just about tracking down this random variant criminal Loki. Like, there must be some other angle. It's just... it's fine to withhold that information from the characters within the show, but I think we as viewers sort of need something, and we kind of get it later in this episode, I guess, in a way. It's just sort of at this stage, you're sitting there going, what's this show? Like, what are we driving towards at this point? And I don't know, here again, feels a little sloppy.
Well, I mean, when we're at this point in WandaVision, did you have an idea what the hell?
Well, WandaVision, though, was set up to be such a mystery box type of show that behind every corner, you're thinking, well, it's got to be this. Well, it's got to be that. And it was, it wasn't something that hit you with a mission statement from the outset, the way that this series did, where it said, okay, here's the show. Here's our high concept. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. Right. And they have essentially accomplished that goal that they set out, that they told us was so very important. And yet we're still kind of spinning our wheels. And I'm like, well, I guess that wasn't the real goal, but we've gotten no real inkling as to what this series is really about, if it wasn't what they sort of told us from the jump.
Mm-hmm. All right. So B-15 looks at a TVA poster on the wall, says verify through deletion, and B-15 preps her pruning rod and goes into the theater 47 where Sylvie is in prison. The hunter puts away a rod and takes out a temp pad and creates a portal and tells Sylvie to come with her. They cruise through the portal, and Sylvie follows B-15. In Ravonna's office, Ravonna has Mobius sign paperwork and asks if he's good. Mobius says that he is and signs, closing the Loki case. They toast to the end of the case, and Ravonna asks Mobius where he would go if he could go anywhere and anytime. Mobius asks why she wouldn't let him interrogate Sylvie, and she points out that Loki got away during Mobius' first interrogation. Ravonna repeats her question, and Mobius dodges answering. Ravonna tells Mobius that the timekeepers want to oversee Sylvie's pruning and want Mobius there. He asked her when she first noticed that C-20 had died, and Ravonna insists that it's over, and the timekeepers are happy. Mobius points out that C-20 was fine when he saw her last, and Ravonna wonders what Mobius is getting at. Mobius says that something seems off, and Ravonna tells him that she's trying to protect him. She didn't want to see Sylvie do anything to him, and she couldn't deal with the same thing happening to Mobius that happened to C-20. Ravonna says that Mobius has been spending too much time with Lokis and insists that they're doing matters because they're fighting for their friendship. She tells Mobius that friendship like theirs is uncommon, and that's why they're fighting for it. Her friend jokingly tells her that she gave such a good speech. He asks where Ravonna is going to put her newest trophy. She swaps her temp pad for another when she isn't looking. Mobius then excuses himself, saying that he's exhausted from dealing with all the Lokis, and he says that he'll see her later up in the timekeeper's chamber and leaves. All right, Scott, we get a little back and forth here. You know, B-15 is taking matters into her own hands. We see Mobius is going a little rogue here. What's happening?
Yeah, when I first saw this, I thought B-15 was about to, you know, fuck Sylvie up. Obviously, that wasn't the case, but she had to show that she was big and bad. You know, when she gets the pruning stick, about to go. And Mobius, you know, Ravonna doesn't like Mobius asking questions. He just likes... she just likes Mobius when he's like a just good little soldier. And, you know, because, you know, you can tell she's getting a little frustrated because, you know, maybe what Loki said is starting to hit with him and he's starting to open his eyes to see what's really going on around here. And then we see it actually happen with him stealing the temp pad, which pretty ballsy, Mobius, because like we've seen these people just disintegrate and be pruned. And, you know, and looks like, you know, I thought we were going to have a swerve and like when, sorry to get ahead, but when Mobius is seeing everyone get pruned, I thought he was going to get pruned as well. That's why they wanted him there. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. Ravonna, definitely, you know, we thought she was such a throwaway character in the first episode. And now she's looking like the main bad guy, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. Tim, do you think Ravonna knows that everybody's various or is she... under the spell, so to speak, as well?
I'd like to think that Ravonna knows more than she is letting on. Just to maybe help explain some of her actions that have been a little bit inexplicable otherwise. For example, this whole we've got to bring them before the timekeepers thing in order to prune them. Feels a little bit unnecessary, right? Like, they haven't done that for any other escapees or variants that they've pruned. They just went before Ravonna, or whatever magistrate, I guess, and hit them with the shock stick, and they disintegrate, right? So why do these get special treatment, especially considering that they are apparently so very dangerous, that they now are getting an audience with the timekeeper as well? Based on what we're going to see later on, if Ravonna knows that, if she understands the true nature of the timekeepers, which, you know, we're going to see some, we're going to have some glimpses into soon, then maybe like she's got, she has another plan, she has another agenda that she's following that, again, maybe we aren't privy to, but will all make sense when all is revealed eventually. But not this week.
All right. Sean?
Yeah, I think Ravonna definitely knows that what's going on in the grand picture, the grand scheme of things. At least I do. I think she knows who the variants are or who the TVA people that are in the TVA. I think she knows exactly who they are, where they come from and all that. So I definitely think she heads the whole thing. You know, Tim, I might bring up an interesting point about why they're not dead, why they're not pruned yet. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're not pruned yet because everyone assumes that they're just going to be pruned in front of the timekeepers. Because the timekeepers, for some reason, maybe these Lokis are special, whatever. I know that doesn't probably help solve for anything, but maybe that's just something they could go by. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. But yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like we're just kind of pacing along in this storyline. I like Mobius doing the swap out. So again, he's clearly knows something's wrong. And as the show goes on, we're going to find out what he's up to and what he's looking at doing, because he definitely has questions and doesn't believe what's going on around him at this point.
Yeah. All right. So B-15 and Sylvie arrive at the Rocksgate Superstore during the hurricane, and B-15 asks Sylvie what Sylvie showed her when she was in her head earlier. Sylvie says that B-15's life is a lie created by the TVA, and she can only use memories already there. She tells B-15 that the timekeepers took the hunter's life from her and the others, and they're all variants. Sylvie says that she and B-15 are the same, and B-15 tells Sylvie to show her and holds out her hand. Sylvie takes B-15's hand, uses her powers. B-15 smiles as she remembers her original life and remembers that she looked happy. When Sylvie stops, B-15 breaks into tears and asks, "What now?" Mobius goes to the library stacks for privacy, takes out Ravonna's temp pad, and finds a file on C-20. There's also a video of her last interrogation talking about her memories that Sylvie tapped into from the bar of C-20's previous life and how she had a whole life on the sacred timeline that she and Ravonna are both variants and everyone in the TVA is as well. Mobius confirms that Ravonna is there and pockets the temp pad. Mobius enters Loki's time loop cell and tells Loki that the Nexus event that Loki and Sylvie caused will bring the TVA down. Loki swears that he believes Sylvie didn't put the memories in C20 and asks if Mobius will trust the word of a friend. Mobius tells Loki that he was right about the TVA from the beginning and he wants to save Sylvie, but then he has to trust Mobius. Loki agrees, and Mobius tells Loki that he can be good if he wants to be. All right, Tim. So we get a very emotional scene here with B-15, getting the truth here, as well as Mobius talking to Loki. What's going on?
Got me. again, I think I've been pretty clear at expressing my befuddlement over this show. I will say this much. It's a little bit jumping ahead, but in sort of talking it through with you guys, all of Ravonna's actions in this episode, it occurs to me, kind of like facilitate Loki and Sylvie's escape, ultimately, or maybe at least Loki's. So she's either really bad at her job as an administrator, which is entirely possible, or here again, she is following a totally independent agenda, as in maybe trying to undermine or bring down the TVA from the inside. Now, Mobius, I mean, he kind of makes this face turn here that feels a little bit like, I don't know, maybe it needed more development to get me there. He seemed a little bit roguish in his tendencies as a TVA representative, kind of from the start of the show, that he was more of a maverick, let's say. And I don't know if they really completed that character arc to get him to the point now openly rebelling against them and helping Loki and Sylvie. And yet here we are. So it is an emotional moment, but it maybe lands a little flat for me because I don't know that they really put in the work.
Yeah. I don't know if it's really, I don't know if he ever was a heel. I think he was starting to get heel-ish because I think he was a kind of a face from the beginning. But I think B-15 definitely.
I mean, he seemed committed to their overall cause. Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if he went about it in a way that was rather unorthodox compared to his, I mean, the only other people we've seen from the TVA, you've got Ravonna, who's kind of this hard ass, and you've got the various agents who, I mean, they don't even have names. So they're just sort of drones. Who we're seeing some character development out of as the show goes along. I think they've kind of done a better job with them than they have with Mobius, who's been consistently difficult to get a read on, for me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There. Sean.
Yeah, I think I definitely don't think Ravonna is trying to bring him down from within. I definitely think she's got nefarious means on what she's doing. So I don't think it's any of that. But yeah, I mean, a nice little scene here. The B-15 and Sylvie was good. Like I said, it's just continuing to plot. It's like they're just adding nuggets upon nuggets upon nuggets, ultimately to where we're going to go in the finale of this episode. So it's kind of a slow burn with Mobius finding some things out, B-15 discovering some things. You discover, and maybe we knew this before, but I didn't, that Sylvie, she can only enchant things that have already happened in their heads. So a lot of plot devices are playing along as we go through this.
All right, Scott.
Yes, those guys said, like Tim hit it right on the head. I do think that Ravonna's just bad at her job. She's she's not trying to bring it down. She's like someone at the DMV, just fucking useless. So
I'm trying to give the show some benefit, some benefit of the doubt. Okay,
I just kind of think, Tim, that we've discovered that if we try to overthink it, it is exactly what we think it is. It is that she's really bad at her job.
She sucks at her job. Okay.
Yeah. Well, like Sean said, we overthink things. Like that enchanted something that like woke me up, like Sylvie did to C20. So like, you know, I don't want to overthink. I'm trying not to overthink anymore. Then, you know, next episode I'll be like, maybe guys, check this shit out. And you know, it's just off the wall. But no, and like we see that Ravonna isn't as Mobius finally figures out, you know, she's kind of a piece of shit with what happened. So it's interesting to see where we go from there.
Yeah, I still crack up that this place is all powerful, yet they have like Nintendo Game Boy temp pads here. So
I mean, yeah.
Well, the paperwork cool. You have to fill out, right?
Yeah, I think they're cool, but you know, I'm like kind of weird.
And they don't even have long range weapons. They have these cattle prods basically, and it's you think they might be better equipped given the quote unquote cosmic importance of their roles here.
Hey, they're just going to use those cattle prods to stop Goldberg from winning at Starrcade 98.
Well,
okay?
No, that's a variant reality that we need to explore.
What a mark. All right. Yeah. So the two men leave the cell via portal into Mobius' theater and find Ravonna and four Minutemen waiting for them. Ravonna asks for a temp pad back from Mobius, and he claims he accidentally picked it up. He asks what the problem is and says that if he could go anywhere, wherever he had a life before the TVA came along, he'd ride on his jet ski. Ravonna tells one of the Minutemen to prune Mobius, and the Minuteman does. So the Minutemen take Loki to the gold elevator while Ravonna goes to Sylvie's theater and confirms that B-15 was with the prisoner. B-15 has gone, and Ravonna tells the Minutemen to put an alert on the Hunter because she's been compromised by Sylvie. Minutemen take Sylvie to the gold elevator. Ravonna joins them, and Ravonna tells Loki and Sylvie up in the elevators to the timekeeper's chamber. And Sylvie asks Ravonna if she remembers her. Ravonna says that she did, and Sylvie asks her why they arrested her. The judge asks why it matters. Sylvie tells her that it was enough to take her life from her and figures it was important. Ravonna tells Sylvie that she doesn't remember. So we get our, you know, one of the big shocks so far of the series is we get Mobius gets pruned here. Sean, what did you think of this sequence here?
I was legit stunned when they pruned Mobius. And at this point in time, we don't really know. I mean, we've all assumed that pruning means you're dead. I mean, this is what we thought up to this point, which we still think until what happens later. No spoilers. But yeah, so really shocking here. But, you know, and then, you know, the whole thing in the background of the elevator. And Sylvie's like, why did you take me? And I don't know. Like, I want to say Ravonna was playing dumb, but if I overthink it, maybe she doesn't know. So, again, just one of those plot devices that in your head make you go, but at the end of the day, it's probably just her being a bitch and not anything more than that.
Yeah, Sean, I think, like, you know, there's, like, this meme from what was that show with John Hamm set in the Mad Men? Where, like,
Tiger
this guy...
King.
Where, like, this guy's like, you know, I hate you. And he's like, you're not even worth what I, like, you're not even worth thinking about. Like, that's, like, it's like the vibes I got from Ravonna right there.
I don't think there's any more than she's just an evil bitch at this point. But, yeah, the Mobius thing was definitely a shocking moment in the show. I did not see that coming at all.
Well, it's also like the scene from Endgame when, you know, Wanda tells Thanos that you took everything from me. He's like, I don't even know who you are. Like, he legitimately did not know who he was. Savage line, but he's not being honest. So, Scott, what did you think of this?
Yeah, like Sean said, I was shocked with Mobius being pruned because, like, you know, Owen Wilson, we figured, like, oh, because, like, this show has been rumored to go multiple seasons. Like, oh, well, he'll be here, like, you know, the whole time. And, like, he still may be. We don't know. But, like, I was just shocked and, like, you know, because everyone had been hyping up, like, you're going to really love the relationship between Loki and Mobius. And, like, you know, like Tim said, like, I haven't been able to, like, I love their scenes together, but I thought it'd be more like of a buddy cop thing. But obviously we got that with Winter Soldier and Captain America. So it's just one of these things where I was blown away when he was pruned. Ravonna is just kind of like Sean said, kind of a bitch. So it's interesting to see where the episode's definitely peaking right now, and it's about to get a little bit better, in my opinion.
Yep, her inner bitch is coming out. Tim, what do you make of this?
Well, my bitch is coming out, too. I do feel like all I'm doing is poking holes in this episode. And I'm not trying to just be a bitch for the sake of being a bitch. But anyway, to be a bitch here... The scene with Ravonna and Sylvie and establishing that Sylvie is basically just sort of beneath contempt. Well, okay, but if she is so beneath even explaining You know, why were you, why are you even in this position? Why were you plucked out of the timeline? What did I do that's so wrong? Okay, but why do you get an audience with the timekeepers if you aren't even worth being told what you did wrong? You know what I mean? Like, it's still just sort of, maybe Ravonna here, I mean, yeah, maybe she is telling the truth. She just doesn't know. She's just kind of trying to do her job, but she's also just not doing it very well, as we have established here. And yeah, Mobius getting pruned is a genuinely pretty sad moment for this character that we have some affection for. We're quite fond of now. I do think they kind of, though, undermine it later in the episode with something that's going to happen. I mean, not even that much later. Just at the end here, you're like, oh, okay. Like, I don't know. Like, they maybe could have, you know, put some distance between these two events that we're about to see. And I don't know, I'm dancing around, but anyway, I think people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and we also got that nice little moment where Sylvie, like, whispers to Loki, you know, are you okay? So it shows that the feelings are mutual, I'm guessing, from earlier. So the trio emerge into the chamber where the seated timekeepers are waiting. Get a very Wizard of Oz vibe here. Loki dares them to kill them, and Sylvie says that the keepers are scared of them. As Ravonna uses her rewind device and the collar keeps Sylvie from going forward, B-15 arrives, uses her remote to open the collars and tosses Sylvie her sword. The Minutemen on guard knock down B-15 and surround Loki and Sylvie. They fight, and Sylvie tosses Loki her sword to defend himself. She kills one of the Minutemen with his own rod and then fights Ravonna, who uses her own rod. Sylvie knocks out Ravonna while Loki kills his opponents. He gives Sylvie her sword back, and she throws it and decapitates one of the timekeepers. His head comes off, revealing that he's an android. The remaining two timekeepers shut down. Loki wonders who created the TVA. Loki starts to tell Sylvie something and says that they'll figure it out. She wonders why, and he says that it's all new for him. Before Loki can say anything else, Ravonna recovers and prunes him with her rod. Ravonna lunges at Sylvie, who disarms her, takes her rod, and threatens her with it. Ravonna tells Sylvie to do it, and Sylvie says that she isn't. Ravonna's going to tell her everything. So, and the episode proper ends, but there will be one more scene that we will discuss. So, yeah. I mean, I also had visions of, you know, Falcon and Bucky's conversation. It's one of the big three, aliens, androids, and I forgot what the other one was, monsters or something like
magic.
That. Magic, yeah. Wizards. Aliens, wizards. Androids, or wizards, yes. Mm-hmm. So, Scott, what do you think of this this fight scene, the reveal of the of what the timekeepers are and you know, how we the ending with Loki getting pruned?
Well, I'm going to start with the we finally have a fight, which is pretty nice because there's been a lot of talking besides Lady Sif whooping Loki's ass for like probably 45 minutes. But, you know, we finally got some nice fights and, you know, B-15, you know, shows that she is working, which we already knew she's working with Sylvie. And like, you know, it's pretty cool. And like, you know, Loki doesn't get his ass whooped really this time like he did on the train. So, you know, he's gotten better. And I will say, I know I said I wasn't going to make any crazy stuff, but those androids were sort of dressed like Kang. That's all I'll say.
Ah, piss off with the Kang.
I know. That's, that's your favorite villain, Sean. That and time travel. That's the stuff you love. You know, maybe we can throw Steamboat in there, too. So we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. God.
Maybe Superman. I don't know, for a crossover. Really? But, oh, come on. That's a shot at me. But no, it was like quite the shock to find out they were androids because it was turned into, I think we talked about this last episode of like the Wizard of Oz or, you know, who's really in control pulling the puppet strings with this. And, you know, it seemed like Ravonna knew that they were androids and they all just disappeared. But, you know, and with Loki being pruned, I didn't see that coming because we all associated being pruned with being killed, which as we're going to talk to in about 5 or 10 minutes, that's obviously not the case. But it definitely sets up like, oh, shit, we only got 2 more episodes of this. Where are they going? Which is what you want with a show. You don't want it to be like, God, can this shit just be over with? Which I've hate watched some TV shows before. But, yeah, very interesting to see where we're going from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it like akin to like what happens if the Hall of Presidents like broke down. Like, I think that's what would happen. What happens here, Tim? What do you make of this?
I don't know. I think I'm kind of ready for him to wrap it up. I'm such a bitch. I'm sorry. Okay, well, we get a reveal of the timekeepers, so that's something, and even a development there in that they are, you know, there is no man behind the curtain kind of thing. They're just these automatons, and that's like, oh shit. Well, Loki thought that this was the greatest power in the universe after questioning everything he thought he knew. Now he is once again questioning, well, if these are not, if the timekeepers are just a construct, then what truly is the greatest power in the universe? There is a yet higher power, you guys, that has not been revealed, that needs to be.
And I guess it was me all along, yeah, Austin.
Well, and who is that? That's where we're at now. I guess that's really what the show is. So I don't know. It's sort of in keeping with a pattern of what we've seen in these MCU television series, which is basically the villain has either yet to be revealed or the villain is not who you think the villain is. We saw that in WandaVision, right? We saw that in Falcon and Winter Soldier through the whole power broker situation. And we're getting it here again, now in the form of the TVA and specifically the timekeepers. Kang has been proposed, certainly, as an idea. And yes, as far as the appearance of these androids, these robots that are representing the timekeepers, I think they just kind of looked like the way they looked from the comics, which is sort of similar to Kang. But I can't say anything in particular was like sort of tipping their hand in that direction. Actually, so if we're getting into fan theory,
come on, bring it on.
Are we at the point in the episode where we're just laying it out there? Okay. So I saw a video. This is not my theory. This was the same guy who put forth the whole Falcon and Winter Soldier was a little bit weird plot wise because it was affected by the pandemic, creatively, you know, not just logistically, but they had to make changes creatively. Same guy. Okay. And the reason I thought that was a very convincing sort of argument that he put forth. He also released a video. I mean, like after the first episode of this series, Loki, saying, you know, I've got a feeling we're going to see Kid Loki in Loki and laid out the reasons why, which we'll get to. So I was kind of like maybe paying more attention to this, and it's just a YouTube channel, than I ordinarily would to that kind of thing. And he put forth maybe the higher power over the TVA. You know, it's not the timekeepers. It's not an alternate Loki, as has been proposed. It's not Kang, but a Kang-adjacent character, Immortus. So this kind of allows them to, which I don't want to get into a whole thing about who is Immortus, this character from the comics, but basically he is just another version of Kang. And it would kind of allow them to introduce a new character, if that's what they want to do, a new villain, this guy Immortus, and then later on down the line connect him to Kang and make Kang a much bigger deal when they want to pull the trigger on that. Because we know we are going to get a Kang in the MCU. We know that he is, you know, the villain or a character in Ant-Man and the Wasp, that third movie, but that's some years down the line, right? So I don't think that this series is like trying to be a setup for that movie. I think we're going to get this kind of seemingly unrelated character, and then they'll do the big reveal later on, just to sort of, I don't know, just to gin up Kang, to make him a bigger deal than just the villain in this sort of C-list MCU movie, seemingly. So I don't know. I think that's what I'm subscribing to officially now, and that'll get blown up next week, just like it always does. But that's where I'm at this stage.
Yeah, I think Ravonna was also a little badass the way she did that little kick up with the sword and everything.
Oh, like yeah, great action. With actions.
The staff. Yeah, I thought it was a really good scene. Sean, what do you think of the ending of this episode?
Well, Tim's got me thinking about the damn Immortus stuff, because Ravonna and Immortus, she actually, in the comics, is in love with Immortus. Did you know that, Tim?
Yeah, and Kang as well. Well, sometimes she's at odds with Kang.
Sometimes, yeah. Kang.
Sometimes yeah, so companions. But Immortus is a much more refined version of Kang, basically. Yeah. He's a Kang from later on down the time, like a future version of Kang, who himself is a character from the future.
So anyway, it could be that link with Ravonna. It totally could be Ravonna is in it with Immortus. And you're right, it could play out to where you don't have to play your cards with, you know, Kang, who you know already knows going to be in Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I also find is a weird movie for Kang to debut in, by the way.
It is.
Very strange. And I don't care if he debuts or not, because Kang is one of the all-time worst villains. I hate him so much. But
you have to acknowledge that he is an important character.
He is a very important character.
I don't really like him that much either, but it's...
I just think his debut is going to cause a whole confusing plot line that I'm not looking forward to. That's just me. So I thought this was Loki, again, getting pruned was shocking. Again, at this point, though, when he got pruned, I kind of suspected, okay, it's not exactly what we think it is, and we'll see that after the credits. And then I also liked that the fight was good. I liked the B-15 stuff. The android, the thing being an android, it's kind of give and take on it. It's very Jim Henson-ish, kind of like Muppets kind of stuff. So I didn't know how I felt about that. And I really don't know why
the Dark Crystal.
Why do you need robots there? Like, what's the point of having them? I don't know. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me. But we are getting towards the end game, and we have two episodes left, Tim, which is crazy, because this almost felt like a pre-plot point to like a finale episode,
and
we
still ultimate episode.
Yeah. So we got two episodes left to go. So I'm anxious to see where it plays out. I'm a little curious, but again, I don't think your theory can be that far off based on Ravonna's history and what we know from the comics, I guess. We'll see.
And I mean, people are going to see, and if they did that, they'd be like, okay, it's this character Immortus who nobody's ever heard of, obviously. And you just think, oh, well, all right, that's a new villain for the MCU. But if it's at the same time, it's like, if you know, you know. And it kind of allows them to have it both ways, right? Of not doing the Kang thing, but in a way, yeah, you're doing the Kang thing.
Kang Immortus is so damn confusing. It's confusing.
I mean, it is, but they don't have to make it that confusing. Because it's not, you know, 100 years worth of comics that they have to necessarily reconcile.
Yeah.
All right, so the episode ended here, but what? There is a post-credits scene, I guess, since this is the mid-season episode, and Loki wakes up in the ruins of New York City. Avengers Tower is in the background. He wonders if he's in hell and if he's dead, and four Lokis, Boastful, Classic, Kid, and Alligator, are there. Boastful says that Loki will be dead if he doesn't come with them. And that quick little scene ends. So, Tim, I have theories, but I mean, I'll give them at the end, since you guys are more the analysts and I'm just the play-by-play guy. So what's going on here in this post-credit scene?
Okay, you called on me. It seems like we're in a bit of a wasteland now. This is where variants go when they get pruned, or at least where Lokis go. I don't know if it's all variants or just something unique to Loki, for him to just suddenly encounter these four counterparts is a little bit suspicious, right? So that's what I'm thinking. This is just a kind of a collection, a a holding place for all of these variants that have been pruned over the years. And I mean, yeah, these should be familiar to folks who you know, are big comic geeks. Get Kid Loki, who's sort of a more recent addition to the mythos, and who I kind of think will be sticking around only because, here again, I watched that YouTube video.
Do you think he'll be a Young Avenger? Because that's been rumored, yes, that the Young Avengers are going to be starting up.
Yes, that's why I think, and that's why the guy who did that video proposed that there would be a Young Loki, a Kid Loki appearance in the show, because they, for marketing reasons, that would be very useful for a Young Avengers effort down the line. We also see, I mean, I marked out for Old Loki, or what is it, Boastful Loki?
Classic
Loki, who looks like he just stepped off the page of like a 1960s Journey into Mystery, mm-hmm, like a very Kirby, a Jack Kirby Loki. And that's Richard E. Grant, who finally, I was wondering, like, who is he going to play in this show? He's supposed to be in it. And that's kind of, that makes as much sense as anything. He's Old Loki. And I definitely marked out for him. What's the deal with Alligator Loki? I definitely want to know that backstory. Give us that flashback, man. Why is Loki now suddenly an alligator? And choosing to remain an alligator, apparently.
Hmm. Yeah, it's, so many questions after this scene. Sean, what did you think of the post-credit scene?
I got angry at it, to be honest with you. So, here's why. So it reminded me of Lost, and I told you guys this. Like, I invested all those years in Lost, and then what you ultimately find out is they're all in purgatory waiting for each other to die before they walk into, like, wherever the fuck they're going. And this is what it reminded me of. And to Tim's point, I wasn't sure if this is where the prune Lokis go or if all the variants go here or whatever, but it almost reminded me of the purgatory on Lost, and I got very, very angry. Now, I did pop for the classic Loki costume because that, to Tim's point, you know, that's what I grew up on, is Loki in that green and yellow kind of almost like jester kind of outfit, I guess I would call it. But I got angry at it. I stopped and thought about it. It's okay. Well, let's see how this plays out. But obviously everything is, when people get pruned, they aren't dying. So we know Omos is still alive. We know Loki's still alive, and we'll just see where it goes. But yeah, initially I got really, really pissed off at it because of my Lost experiences.
All right, Scott.
I was kind of shocked by it. Like, I wasn't expecting that. And how do we know, like, I have the scene pulled up right now. How do we know it's New York? Like, people claim you can see the Avengers Tower.
You can.
Where's that at?
the right side of the screen.
I didn't. Is that what it said?
It is. It's like a dystopian New York.
Okay. I was just wondering how people have, like, made that. I mean, I guess we'll find out next episode. But, like, I have it paused right now, just trying, probably going to get screen burned. But yeah, I'm just wondering what's going on. Is everyone that's pruned there, or is it just the Lokis? Or yeah, I'm really interested to see what's going on. I'm kind of pissed we only have 2 episodes left, and these episodes are probably going to be, like, only 42 minutes. I wish they had an 8-episode series. I mean, Tim would probably quit, but
yeah, I don't need 8
episodes. Hey, maybe would there be anything wrong with dropping both episodes next week?
No, I don't think.
What's stopping them from doing that? Just do it. You got a movie premiering. You're gonna be, you know, just do it. You don't want to do the Loki finale the week after Black Widow. I mean, just get it out of here, right?
Yep, I agree. That would be good because I think, you know, Black Widow's coming out, and, like, you know, I've been personally busy with, like, my own shit, and it just feels like Black Widow's not getting a lot of play for coming out. I mean, I'm not really seeing, like, a bunch of Loki stuff. It's just because, like, I'm tuned into, you know, Loki and, like, Black Widow coming out. But, like, Black Widow comes out next Friday. Then we have the finale of Loki the following Wednesday. It's like, no one's going to talk about Black Widow after
next week. Yeah, nobody's going to talk about Black Widow. But it's either, like, you're going to only be talking about Black Widow, so you don't have as much buzz going into a Loki finale, or you kind of trample Black Widow because you're still fixated on fucking the last episode of Loki. And it's just, I know that wasn't the plan. Like, Black Widow is supposed to come out months, well, a year ago, but originally was supposed to be like May or whatever. But I don't know. It's just the timing is sort of janky next week with all this.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, it's a frontal view of Avengers Tower.
A full frontal
view. It's a frontal, yes. It's not a side view where it's easier to make out, but you can definitely see the platform and all that stuff.
Okay. Up there.
Yeah, I mean, my theory is that, you know, this could maybe, and guys, you guys know I'm not a comic guy or anything like that. I just know from playing stupid video games sometimes that maybe this is Chronopolis. Maybe it's all, you know, they all get trapped in there, and, you know, this is kind of like there where they go. Because from what I understand, Chronopolis is like a bunch of different, like, places, like, mixed together, right? Is that really what Chronopolis is? I mean, I don't want to turn this into a huge Chronopolis discussion. I think you're
thinking of Battle World.
Well, I'm basing this on a Lego video game, so where Kang is the bad guy.
I don't know what they've done.
All these worlds near each other. There's, you know, you have Metropolis, you have, not Metropolis.
Well, I mean,
you have,
I see what you're, Chronopolis is sort of a collection of worlds. There's representations of different time periods within Chronopolis, and Chronopolis is like the sort of like the kingdom of Kang, so to speak. He's a conqueror. He has traveled across, he's gone across time and conquered many worlds and different entire timelines, and that's sort of his kingdom, so to speak.
It's like a collection kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And again, there's different timelines represented. Whereas you have something like Battle World, which is a collection of different, like, alternate universes, which can be different, even though it sounds sort of like the same concept. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it could be one or the other, or it's just one of those deals where they're just going to combine the two concepts, maybe. But, yeah, it's and I don't know that, again, will have anything to do with Kang or Immortus necessarily. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like this weird outside of time, you know, collection of different variants or aspects of maybe different worlds. I mean, could be.
Well, it's also based on something that, I mean, I don't know if we should bring it up. Like, I saw in the trailer for this, I think it might have been the Loki series trailer. It might have been. I know, you know, should avoid trailers because, you know, it gives away too much, but I, you know, couldn't help myself. And there was a scene where a character was driving past certain landmarks, and you could think, like, okay, that doesn't look right. But now that this Chronopolis thing is in my head, and seeing, like, okay, maybe, like, all these little worlds are next to each other, and I'm thinking back to that video game. So it's like they had to have drawn on something to create that video game, you know, concept. So it's like kind of like, I don't know, messing with my head a little bit, but that's what I think were happening here. So
there's Limbo, which is associated with Immortus. Again, it's just basically a place outside of time, where time doesn't really pass, but you can. It's sort of like a hub that can connect you to wherever you want to go. Mm-hmm. That's, again, sort of where Immortus hangs out. So maybe that's what they do. So, yeah, I mean, maybe we should gear up for hearing some interesting names, whether it's Chronopolis or Battle World or Limbo. Let's, you know, maybe not put all our eggs in one basket, but I wouldn't be shocked if we hear some or a name like that in these next two episodes here.
All right. So what do we think we're going to see in the next episode? Sean, we'll start with you.
Oh, my God. I have no idea. I'm like, for once, I don't really have a thought or where we're going or, you know, I think we'll obviously learn more about the variant Lokis, and we'll learn more about the what actually happens when you're pruned. And I'm sure we'll find out if this is Loki specific or all variants are here. I'm sure we'll give answers to that. But as far as where this show's going at this point, I don't have a fucking clue, Andy.
Oh, now you know how I feel. Thank you, John. All right, Scott.
You know, I'm similar to Sean. I can throw out some crazy shit, maybe the Beyonder or something, but
with his perfectly coiffed hair.
Yeah, you know, he looks like fucking Zach Morris's dad. Yeah. But I honestly have no idea. Like, they threw a big curveball at me right now with this last episode, because I really thought, you know, me and Tim were onto something last week and was proved wrong rather quickly. Even for our standards, it usually takes a whole season, not the first 5 minutes of an episode. But I'm interested to see where it goes. I, you know, out of the three Marvel series, I will say this is probably my least favorite one, but I'm still enjoying the ride, if that makes sense. It's just I hold these Marvel TV shows and movies in high regard. So it's, but it hasn't, like, let me down, like, got me main roster angry, as Tim says. So
I did get main roster angry at
the purgatory. I know, you got main roster angry at the
purgatory. I really did. I really did.
Not a fan of Limbo, huh?
No, not at all. Well, yeah, if it's got Ileana and
Matt. No, that's a different Limbo.
And all that,
that's a different Limbo.
Oh, my bad.
Mass tier, whatever his name is.
We're going
is.
Down a whole other road there, sorry.
God, we're such losers.
Tim, we think we may see or learn in the next episode.
I think we're all idiots.
I mean,
well, that's a given. Yes.
That's not a prediction.
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
Okay. We've done a lot of high-minded talking, as we often do, but in the end, they've got to keep this simple. They've got to keep all these potentially very complex, complicated concepts, that's a lot of C's, accessible to people and in some way comprehensible. So if anything along the way with these, especially these Marvel shows, more so than the movies, that I think we've kind of learned is that maybe the simplest explanation is the most likely. And, I mean, I think when you get too far out there with some of this stuff, while they may make for interesting theories, the likelihood of them seeing any time of day is maybe being overly optimistic. So that means it's either Immortus, who's just going to be, wow, why did my voice crack? It's either Immortus. I'm in seventh grade, you guys. Who's going to be introduced as just a new character, a new villain, or the great power behind it all is just yet another alternate variant Loki. Which is like the most boring thing they could do, but it's also the easiest thing they could do. You know what I mean?
Yep, I know. All right, so lots of theories, some anger, some frustration, some confusion. You know, sums up basically every episode of Loki so far for us. But we got two more to go, so we'll check you out for episode 5 of Loki next week. For Tim Capel, Scott Shiflett, and Sean Kidd, I'm Andy Addington. Pop Goes the Couch. We'll return shortly. Talk to you later.